Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans on this Thanksgiving weekend. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with American farmer Adam Lallone. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. We'll look at last weekend's Service Academy football games. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my friend Adam Lallone. Adam's one of those guys who makes sure we Americans have food to eat. He's a farmer. Our nation needs to be energy independent, you know, like we were 2 years ago. We also need to be food independent, which we haven't been for decades. We need both energy and food independence so that we can avoid being dependent on countries that might become our enemies. So welcome back, Adam. We've talked about this before, and we're going to keep talking about it. Thanks, bro, for being here.
Thanks, Denny. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. I appreciate your audience. Thank you.
Adam, we're losing farmers and farmland pretty fast here in the USA, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've talked about this before, and I talked to this on many shows across the country, Denny. The retailers are going cheap, okay? So they've been going cheap for many years. It really started back in the late 80s. And it's just escalated. They're buying Mexico, South America, Peru, Uruguay, Argentina. And the U.S. farmers can't compete. They really can't. The ranchers can't compete with the beef coming out of Brazil, right? And there's many, many things that hurt us. The biggest thing is that when they can grow and produce at half our cost, that's one thing that hurts, right? The main thing that hurts us now is the volume that they're pushing into this country. The term dumping is right on the money, my friend. And the farmers are dropping like flies. They just cannot compete because of the volume getting shipped in.
Well, one of the things we can do is people buying food is asked to buy food made in America, grown in America, raised in America. We can do that, can't we?
Oh, for sure. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, especially with social media and the information we have at hand. Read your labels. You know, the print is getting smaller and smaller, and it's difficult to read the label. But by law, okay, by law, they have to put origin, okay? And they've been getting tricky. So it'll say packed in California, the origin of the product is South America, okay? It could be Peru, it could be Argentina, it could be Mexico, right? But now they're saying packed in Florida, packed in California. So they're seeing this. We have customers, we have great Americans reading their labels now. And now they're getting trickier on the label. It's really disheartening, but we have to be careful. They're getting tricky on the labels, so we have to read them carefully and pay attention, you know. And even roadside stands, farmer markets. I mean, support these farmers directly. That's 100%. You can't screw that up, my friend. Right?
Yeah, and that's what we have to do. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom with talking with farmer Adam Lallone. And the price of food can't be that different. A dime more here or something like that. And supporting American, we want our jobs to sustain themselves and not go away to being made in China or somewhere else. We need to do this for our farmers, not just to be good Americans, take care of our farmer friends and neighbors and family members, but to protect our country. If we can't feed ourselves, what happens if some countries in South America become enemies of ours and cut off the food? What do we do then? And Adam,
that's a very good point. And a lot of people don't realize as these row crop vegetable guys and stuff like that are going out of business because they can't compete with Mexico, you know, tomatoes in Florida, okay, peppers, I mean, It's tremendous. The list goes on and on. But people don't realize once this dirt goes out of production, once this family farm goes out of production, to turn that production back on is just extremely costly. You have to get the ground prepped, okay? And it takes 2 years to get that ground ready to grow again and be profitable, okay? You have to control the weeds. You have to get the soil pH correct. You have to get the fertilizer down. This is just not a turn on and turn off switch, folks. Okay. As these farmers are going out of business, you can't just turn the switch back on and get food out of your country if we're at war with another country that's feeding you. Okay. You cannot just turn the switch back on. When Denny says this is security, this is food security, this is no joke. It is no joke. It's really no joke. And we need to hold our retailers accountable. There's many ways you can do that. If you know Florida's in season, okay, with tomatoes, and you see Walmart, right, or whoever it may be in Florida carrying Mexico tomatoes, right, talk on social media, hold them accountable, ask your produce managers why, you know? We need to tell these retailers what we want to eat. That's really what it boils down to. The retailers are the ones buying the products, okay? We need to tell them what we want to eat.
Well, and frankly, they want to sell us what we want to buy. So this is not being nasty. This is helping them help us be good Americans and helping them be good Americans. We have to stand together as Americans, and that's the point. And that's what we have to do. Adam, you are a farmer right now. You sell foods from Patriot Foods. Talk a minute about Patriot Foods.
Yeah, so we've been struggling in this blueberry thing in Michigan. And, you know, Michigan has some of the finest fresh water in the world, Denny. And I tell you, you're out of Michigan. This is a beautiful state. We love the seasons. And we're in the blueberry business. The family's been in the blueberry business since 1961. We've seen this thing go up and down a little bit, but we've never seen it go down on this kind of level. So that being said, we started Patriot Foods in 2018, and we wanted to get the consumer's attention, right? So how do you do that? How do you get the consumer's attention? Well, we figured out we have great family, and the military history of our family is just very well. And they are both wounded. My great-grandfather was wounded in the trenches, okay, in France, World War I. My grandfather was wounded in the Pacific, okay, World War II. So I said, hey, when they buy off our store, our online store, let's give back. Let's give back to a military family in need. And I tell you, it's been exhilarating. It's just been so, so, so exciting doing that. We just did a giveaway in the Upper Peninsula, and it was great. We just love doing it. So when you buy at Patriot Foods, our farmers give back every time a percentage back to a military family in need. Go on our site. Look at all the great people we've given back to. And why do we do it? We do it because we're proud of the people that defend our country, and we're proud of the people that feed our country, right? So that's what we do, and we give back every time, and we encourage people, go to patriotfoods.com, hit the shop now, and browse. We have many, many items. I think we're over 350 items now. It's just a great platform, a great store.
And it's where I buy, and it is great food. And we are all Americans. We're an American team, whether it's military or farmers or other people. We need to stand together. Adam, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for what you're doing to help keep America secure. Thank you for being a good friend.
Thanks, Denny. Thank you, sir. God bless.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Now it's time to run hard for a couple of miles, troops. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it's time to review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. I'm really looking forward to reviewing this movie with you, Diane. It was awesome. Thank you so much for being on the team.
Thank you, Denny. Of course, it's always an honor and a privilege to be with you. And wasn't this one just wonderful?
It was marvelous. And it really fits the Thanksgiving weekend. What'd you do for Thanksgiving?
My son and I went to some friends. He's here visiting.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, the movie was a winner. What a great insight into a real hero and one who's 109 years old. He makes me feel young.
Well, I believe he has now passed, but he passed at 112 or something, like something ridiculous. And he was driving. That was the part I found so remarkable.
Yeah. When the movie was made, he was 109. And so that really gave me some motivation. Well, let's review some listener comments, because the listeners loved it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
One, now this is obvious. Wow, 109 years old and still very active. I mean, I know some people at 50 who aren't active. There are people that are old at 50, and there are people that are young at 80, but young at 109, that's impressive, isn't it?
It really is.
And the next one, I can't believe he's still driving, but he sure is. And safely, apparently.
Yeah, he had just had his license renewed, so they must have tested him.
I would expect that if you were the driving license issuing person, you might overlook some 30 or 40 or 50-year-old ones a little bit. You'd check a 109-year-old before you gave him a
new
license.
Absolutely.
And his involvement with his church is wonderful. I wonder how well he sings. Now, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
If anybody questioned that, the answer is, you don't want to be around me when I sing. Well, I don't know if you know this, but one of the records I hold at West Point is I'm the only cadet in the history of the school ordered not to sing even at football rallies.
Oh, that's funny, Danny.
Just mouth the words, Mr. Gillum. Anyway, he smokes cigars and drinks alcohol and is healthy at 109. Wow. Well, I guess he's figured out what he can handle and what he can't handle and what lights his candle and what holds him down, and he knows how to balance it. That's my guess. And he had a very young girlfriend, about 15 years younger than him.
Well, good for him.
Of course, that means she was 90 or something like that.
Right.
So that's not exactly a spring chicken, even by our standards. But why not? I mean, boys like girls and girls like boys, the last time I checked. And he stays active. This has to be a really important part of his life. Boy, I sure think so. I couldn't imagine having an inactive life, you know, watch TV and play checkers or something.
Yeah, that wouldn't be for me, obviously.
Yeah, but I guess both of us have sort of figured that out in our own lives. But I know a lot of people who are inactive and doing fine, and that's fine. I'm not putting it down. But he apparently is a bit like us. He needs to be active, and he is. He's black, did pick cotton, but sure didn't seem to in any way oppressed. You know, I guess you can ride that horse or you can not ride that horse, but he was oppressed. He got beyond it and doesn't live in it anymore. That's, I think, an important message in this movie, that move on and don't live in the past. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I also just wanted to speak to, he was proud to be a veteran. So
yes,
that is why I brought it to the show. I mean, the whole thing was just so enriching and so enlightening. And he was such a proud man. I just found that just lovely and wonderful.
Yes. And one of the comments was, I wonder if he was drafted or joined the Army and what he did in the Army. And he was in the Army when it was segregated, so that can affect some things. The Army wasn't desegregated. The military wasn't desegregated until 1948.
But he would have been in World War II, right? Wasn't
yes.
he in World War II? Yes.
Yes, he was in World War II. So that we
that our, was our military integrated?
No, it was not. World War II was over in 1945. The Army wasn't integrated until 1948. But he did serve. And an awful lot of, I mean, I just got through seeing a review of the Muskegee Airmen. They certainly knew how to serve in World War II.
Absolutely.
I said Muskegee, I meant Tuskegee. So living through that and putting it behind you is important. Here's the comment I liked. I appreciate his love of ice cream. I love it too. Well, I love it too.
Yeah, well, that's my Achilles heel.
Well, it's one of my Achilles heels, but, and here's another comment. I don't know if I'll live as long as he has, but I do want to be that active as long as I live. He's a good role model. You know, wow, do I agree with that?
Yeah.
I don't, how long I live is not up to me. That's up to God. But I sure hope I can be active for all of it.
Right. I agree, Danny.
My goal is when my time comes, I want to get hit on the head with a 10-ton rock or something while I'm out doing something. But I don't get a vote in that. And those are the comments. Obviously, everybody loved, just absolutely loved it. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, the movie of the month for next month is an incredible video of an incredible admiral making a speech that should motivate anybody and everybody to be the best human being you can be. Is that a fair summary?
I think that's absolutely correct. And I would encourage all of your listeners to share our movie of the month with their families and their loved ones and their friends. It's not just for the military. These are films that I feel could start conversations and be enriching to everybody. So I would encourage your listeners to share the links and join us in this conversation.
Indeed. And we've got a minute left. Talk to us about the Garden State Film Festival.
Well, the call for entries is over. We're going through. We're just roughing out the schedule now. We hope to have it up on the website in about mid-January. It's going to be, we had some wonderful, wonderful entries. And we look forward to seeing any of you who might want to join us on March 23rd through the 26th in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Is it going to be virtual available too, or is it or not?
No, we found that it was not cost effective last year for us to do that. People want to come out and be with us and, you know,
I
enjoy
agree with
it
you.
In person. The virtual was just plummeted. It wasn't as popular last year as it was. And I think everybody's ready to get out again. So,
oh yeah, I want to be face to face with human beings.
Exactly.
That's what life is like. Okay, Diane, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for being a great, productive member of the team. Thank you for being a great friend. I appreciate you.
Right back at you, Denny.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. And it's football season, and it's time for the football co-host Quentin Roberts and me to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Quentin, it was an interesting weekend, wasn't it?
Danny, it was a great weekend for our Service Academy football teams as they come to the towards or near the end of this season.
And they all won. I don't remember the last time we had all three winners.
Not this year, Denny. It really has not been that much fun, as much fun as we've had covering them. You know, the victories have not been as abound, especially for Army-Navy, as we're accustomed to seeing.
But, wow, are we finishing looking good. I guess the big win was Army versus UConn. Let's start there.
Well, Denny, I'll tell you what. Army was really in a dogfight against the University of Connecticut, who came in really looking to score a big victory at West Point. But Army prevailed 34-17. They moved to 4-6 on the season, while UConn dropped to 6-6. It was senior day, but it was the quarterback who stepped up for Tyre Tyler. Who stepped up for West Point. It was in front of 31,229 fans. And, you know, you really just cannot give enough credit to the Black Knights. It was the Huskies who received the opening kickoff, but the Army defense quickly forced a three and out play that marked Army's first block kick of the season. The second time the special teams got into the end zone was when Jabril Williams blocked the punt. Miles Stewart recovered it in the end zone. West Point went up 7-0. UConn responded with a field goal and then another touchdown. And it was back and forth in the first half. As at the end of the half, it was West Point 13 and UConn 10. In the third quarter, again, back and forth as UConn jumped out on top 17-13, but West Point responded with two touchdowns to go up 27-17. And then Tyre Tyler had a two-year run in the fourth quarter to cap off a big 34-17 upset victory over the University of Connecticut Huskies.
Yes, sir. It was worth watching. And if you had to only watch one, that fourth quarter was the one to do. That was made my Army blood feel real nice and warm. Air Force did pretty well against Colorado State, too, didn't they? 24-12.
Then, you know, it was a battle for the state supremacy. The state of Colorado, as Air Force did defeat Colorado State 24-12. The Falcons moved to 8-3 on the season. The Colorado State Rams dropped to 2-9. It was really all Air Force as they controlled this game. They went up 17-0 at the half. They scored another touchdown in the third to go up 24-6. Colorado State added a touchdown in the fourth quarter to make the score to draw a little nearer to 24-12. It wasn't really vintage Air Force football, but nonetheless, I'll tell you what, you know, they really found something with Brad Roberts this year, the fullback who was named the player of the week in the Mountain West Conference. he really just stole the show once again, running for well over 100 yards, I think about 180 yards in the game. Quarterback Hazeek Daniels completed a big pass to David Cormier. And it was really, and Hazeek Daniels had a long touchdown run of his own. So it was another fun filled day for the seniors at Falcon Stadium. It was cold out, but the victory, as you said, warmed the cockles of my Air Force heart.
As well it should have. That it was just a great game. And Navy did a pretty nice job against the University of Central Florida. I was delighted to see that.
It really was. You know, again, we have been lauding the fact that even though they haven't had a great season, you can see the progress that Navy has been making game in and game out. This was an upset win, 17-14 over number 17 ranked University of Central Florida. It was sophomore fullback Dava Funfana, who rushed for 114 yards, while senior striker John Marshall recorded a school record 4 sacks to lead Navy to a 17-14 victory over number 17 UCF in front of 44,813 fans in Orlando, Florida. Another fun fact is that Navy won the game without completing a single pass. Who says you have to throw the ball in today's football game? Hey, running is just fine. It was Navy who dominated possession of the ball and gained 248 yards on the ground. The loss dropped UCF to 8-3 on the season, 5-2 in the conference. You know, and it was really just a strong victory. Navy was up 14-6 at the half. UCF came back and tied it up in the third. Navy went ahead with a field goal in the third at 17-14. And then the defense just dug in and held on for another gritty win for Navy to move to 4-7 in overall and 4-4 in the conference.
Hey, I was proud of what they did. How about Merchant Marine and Coast Guard?
Well, their season ended when they played one another. So okay. They were off during last week, and so they're done, and they're home for the holidays.
All righty. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Quentin Roberts about Service Academy football. This week, Navy's got a bye, so Army plays at University of Massachusetts. What is that supposed to look like?
Well, University of Massachusetts has only won one game this year, and so I expect the Black Knights to absolutely roll. The Minutemen are coached by former Michigan defensive coordinator Don Brown, and either his first or second year at the helm, and he's having a tough go of it this year, whereas Army is just finding its footing just in time for the Navy game. So that Army-Navy game is going to be a dandy, but yes, I expect Army to really crank it up and tune up, finally tune their game with the Minutemen in preparation for Navy.
Okay. And Air Force at San Diego State. That won't be a walk in the park.
No, that certainly will not be a walk in the park, Denny, as Air Force is favored by 1.5 points at San Diego State. San Diego State 7-4 overall, 5-2 in the conference. And they are the defending conference champions. And so, if you look at the tail of the tape, Air Force is scoring a little more. They have a little stronger offense. But whenever you have a passing team, boy, that really stresses the Air Force defense. And so it's going to be a tough game in Snapdragon Stadium.
Well, I know who to be rooting for. Air Force.
Go Falcons.
That's right. I grew up in California. I'm rooting for Air Force. And as we said, Navy's got a bye, so they just get to watch and cheer for Army and Air Force next week.
That's right, Denny. They sure do. Something tells me they're not quite doing it like we are, though.
But we're such noble guys, Quentin. I mean, you know, what the heck?
Well, so with age comes a little bit of perspective.
I sure hope that's what comes with it. I certainly am getting the age.
Yeah, that's one of the things that comes with age, right?
So, thank you. Thank you, Quentin, for your insights and for being part of the team. We'll be back next week. We have next week, then there's a week off, and then there's Army-Navy. So we got a few more to do. Thank you, bro.
Yep, we do, Denny. And then there's going to be a bowl game for Air Force. So that'll also be exciting.
Amen. Thank you, bro.
All right. Thanks, Denny.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history. You've reported for duty to the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, Susan, a Navy grandma, loves listening to the show and on this Thanksgiving weekend is thankful for Front Lines of Freedom.
Thank you, Susan. We really appreciate your warm feelings.
And Hank, a retired Air Force guy, was driving to visit family in Southern California when he heard your show. It's great. He'll try to find a station when he gets home to Colorado.
Well, Hank, thank you for your comment. You can find all the stations and the times they play on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. And now it's time for military history. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, legend has it that on the night of 2 December 1777, Philadelphia housewife and nurse Lydia Darragh single-handedly saved the lives of General George Washington and his Continental Army when she overheard the British planning a surprise attack on Washington's army for the following day. During the occupation of Philadelphia, British General William Howe stationed his headquarters across the street from Darragh's home, and when Howe's headquarters proved too small to hold meetings, he commandeered a large upstairs room in her house. Although uncorroborated, family legend holds that Mrs. Darragh would eavesdrop and take notes on the British meetings from an adjoining room and would conceal the notes by sewing them into her coat before passing them on to American troops stationed outside the city. On the evening of December 2nd, 1777, Darragh overheard the British commanders planning a surprise attack on Washington's army at White Marsh, Pennsylvania, for December 4 and 5. Using a cover story that she needed to buy flour from a nearby mill just outside the British line, she passed the information to American Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Craig the next day. The British marched towards White Marsh on the evening of December 4 and were surprised to find the Continental Army waiting for them. After three inconclusive days of skirmishing, General Howe returned his troops to Philadelphia. It is said that members of the Central Intelligence Agency still tell the story of Lydia Darragh, one of the first spies in American history.
Wow. You know, that's a great legend, and I'll bet something like that happened.
I believe it, Colonel. I do.
And on 30 November 1939, during World War II, the Red Army crossed the Soviet-Finnish border with over 465,000 men and 1,000 aircraft. Helsinki was bombed and 61 Finns were killed in an air raid that steeled the Finns for resistance. The overwhelming forces arrayed against Finland convinced most Western nations, as well as the Soviets themselves, that the invasion of Finland would be a cakewalk. The Soviet soldiers even wore summer uniforms despite the onset of Scandinavian winter. it was simply assumed that no outdoor activity, such as fighting, would take place. But the Helsinki raid had produced many casualties and many photographs, including those of mothers holding dead babies and preteen girls crippled by the bombing. Those photos were hung up everywhere to spur on Finn resistance, although that resistance consisted only of small numbers of trained soldiers on skis and bicycles fighting out in the forests and partisans throwing Molotov cocktails into the turrets of Soviet tanks. The refusal to submit made headlines around the world. President Roosevelt quickly extended $10 million in credit to Finland, while also noting that the Finns were the only country to pay back their World War I war debt to us in full. But by the time the Soviets had a chance to regroup and send in a massive reinforcements, the Finnish resistance was spent. By March 1940, negotiations with the Soviets began, and Finland soon gave up, lost the Karelian Isthmus, the land bridge that gave them access to Leningrad, which is what the Soviets wanted to control.
And on 2 December 1942, Enrico Fermi, the Italian-born Nobel Prize-winning physicist, directed and controlled the first nuclear chain reaction in his laboratory beneath the bleachers of Stagg Field at the University of Chicago, ushering in the nuclear age. Upon successful completion of the experiment, a coded message was transmitted to President Roosevelt, quote, "The Italian navigator has landed in the New World," unquote.
You know, it's interesting that most of the research for that was done under the stadium seats at the football stadium in the University of Chicago, because this was such large areas and the heavy buildings of the stadium seats and everything made it secure. And that's where we did most of our research and discovery. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. So much about history, we just don't know. Most people never know.
That's right. On 30 November 1950, President Harry Truman announced during a press conference that he was prepared to authorize the use of atomic weapons in order to achieve peace in Korea. At the time of Truman's announcements, Communist China had joined North Korean forces in their attack on UN troops, including U.S. soldiers, who were trying to prevent the Communist expansion into South Korea. Truman blamed the Soviet Union for using Communist Chinese insurgents as a part of their devious plan to spread communism into Asia and pledged to increase our defenses to a point where we can talk, as we should always talk, with authority. The press then asked Truman what he planned to do. Truman responded the U.S. would take whatever steps were necessary to contain communist expansion in Korea. A reporter asked, "Will that include the atomic bomb?" To which Truman replied, "That includes every weapon that we have." You know, it's interesting that one of the reasons General MacArthur was fired from running the war in Korea is because he wanted to use an atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't need it, but you just look back and in hindsight, it's a lot easier studying history, you know.
Hindsight is 20/20 all the time. Yep.
And on 1 December 1959, 12 nations, including the U.S. and the Soviet Union, signed the Antarctica Treaty, which banned military activity and weapons testing on that continent. It was the first arms control agreement signed in the Cold War period.
Wow, in Antarctica, that would be Cold War too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, talk about melting the ice cap.
Yes. On 30 November 1981, representatives from the U.S. and the Soviet Union opened talks to reduce their intermediate range nuclear forces, called INF, in Europe. The talks lasted until December 17th, but ended inconclusively. The SALT I, 1972, and SALT II, 1979, reduced the number of strategic nuclear weapons held by the two superpowers, but left unresolved the issue of the growing number of non-strategic nuclear weapons, also called intermediate-range nuclear missiles, in Europe. By 1976, the Soviets planned to update their INF systems with better SS-20 missiles. America's NATO allies called for a U.S. response, and the U.S. threatened to deploy Cruise and Pershing II missiles, and by 1983, no agreement could be reached with the Soviets concerning INFs. However, by 1981, the situation changed. The no-nuke forces were gaining strength in Western Europe, and there was a growing fear that President Ronald Reagan's heated Cold War rhetoric would lead to nuclear showdown with Europe as the battlefield. The U.S. and USSR agreed to open talks on INFs in November of 1981.
Yes, and Ronald Reagan, boy, I tell you, all his talk and firmness ended in peace.
Wow. You mean solid, hard
leadership? Yeah.
It works.
Speak softly, carry a big nuclear weapon.
Amen. And that's military history for today. Take us to self-defense reports, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
This is interesting. A Pennsylvania woman saw a child alone inside a vehicle for over 20 minutes at a public parking lot. Concerned for the child's well-being, she took a video of the child, meaning to report it to the authorities. Before she could make the report, the child's mother arrived and proceeded to beat the woman with a baseball bat. She then ran over the woman with her car, drug her 100 feet, then backed over her in an attempt to do even more harm. The injured woman's friend came to her aid and called 911. The violent woman, Nicole Moore, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and several other felonies. The victim, Tara Stout, suffered a broken back, crushed pelvis, and several spinal injuries. Wow.
Thanks, Colonel. When I first read this news story, I didn't quite know what to think. I just felt like there must be a backstory that gave a better reason for the attack. So I went ahead and I did some research. Here's what I found out. I was surprised to find that the attacker and the victim didn't know each other, and there was no previous bad blood between them. Simply put, the victim is a mother of five children and was appalled to see the three-year-old child all alone in a running car for so long. That's why she took the video, in order to hold the negligent mom accountable for her actions. I believe Tara Stout did the right thing. However, I would have gone about it in a safer way. Here are some things you can do if you find yourself in a situation like this. First, I believe Tiara was truly trying to help the child by holding the mother responsible for her actions. She definitely had the right intentions, but there was a safer way to do it. Tiara took the video and then waited around for the mother to come out of the apartment complex. That in itself isn't wrong. However, a better idea would have been to immediately call 911 and get the police on the way. Second, she waited outside her car and verbally confronted the neglectful mother for what she'd done. I've seen kids left in cars many times, but I never confront the parents. I usually just sit in my car and watch to make sure nothing happens to the kids until the adult comes out and drives away. Now, don't get me wrong. When I see something like this, it angers me, and a part of me wants to lash out and lecture the bad parent, but I know better than to think a bad parent will improve simply because I lecture them. The benefit isn't worth the risk. The best thing to do in this situation is to record the neglect, call police, and then get to a safe place. You have the evidence, so now police can come and do their job. And parents, if you're one of those people who leave your kids alone in a vehicle in public, please stop doing that. It's not safe for your kids, and it could be a legal problem for you as well. My parents left us alone in the car all the time when I was growing up. But that was a different time and a safer world. Parents today no longer have that luxury. Frontlines of Freedom salutes Tiara Stout for her good intentions, and we wish her a speedy recovery and all the best for her family.
Well said. Our movie of the month is Mr. Overton. We just reviewed it. It's a great movie. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired General Eric Wesley will discuss his amazing company, Parasanti. It does amazing things. Then Army veteran Steve Prince will discuss Warriors Set Free, helping hurting vets. And Mike Griffin will share about the National Military Fraternity, and we'll cover this weekend's Service Academy football games with Quentin Roberts. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase the book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom dismissed.